The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Dmitry Orlov, far side of the ice, is able to angle one forward and get it down the surface. And now it's a turnover by the Kraken in front. A shot toward the net, off the post. They score! Colin Graf took that puck on the turnover. He got the pass from Chernyshov, put it off the post, and in the scramble in the ensuing play, it ends up going in the back of the net. 36 seconds into the second period, and the Sharks take advantage of a Kraken mistake, and boy, that's a big one. It is 2-1 San Jose.
No, I mean, it's not like we just got our doors blown off. We played a good hockey game. We've played two good games here in a row. We've started on that road trip. We started finding our identity of a hockey team. I think we're frustrated with this one, this outcome, because that was a game, you know, looking back at, we just got to dig in a little bit more in some areas, and it's a winnable game.
Good morning, everyone. We are waking up on Sunday, December 21st, and the San Jose Sharks, despite losing two of their last three games, do find themselves in the second wild card still, 37 points on the year, 17-16-3, 5-5 in their last 10 games, and playing in many ways like a 500 team, which, although the Sharks have playoff aspirations, because of course they should have playoff aspirations, there is inconsistency in their game. You see them play at an extremely high level for a few games, and then you see it dial back, and then you see it dial up, and then you see it dial back, and then you see games like last night, which are in one way maddening, because I thought the Sharks played a pretty good game, but it also showed that one of the things I talked about after the last game was how the Sharks have the ability to just put the pedal to the metal and take over games. They couldn't do that last night against a Seattle team, and I felt that Seattle brought a level of desperation that in the past, the Sharks, A, would have been the desperate team, and B, in the past, the Sharks would not have been able to match that type of frantic, desperate team. Except in this game, they did. And I don't think that it really took them out of their game too much. There were moments where the structure was lost. There were moments when they turned the puck over. But if you look at those second and third goals in particular, those were relatively fluky. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Seattle. They deserve this win. They beat the Sharks. But this is the type of loss that you see and you just think to yourself, man, the Sharks for a second consecutive game played what I felt was a good game, had their opportunities to win, were not able to do so, did not get their doors blown off like we heard from head coach Ryan Warsawski on the way in, and all in all put together a performance that was pretty good, but on this specific night it was not good enough to win. And I think that is indicative of growth once again. You heard Ryan Warsawski there coming in. You know, he didn't sound overly upset. He didn't sound overly perturbed. We've seen the upset and perturbed Ryan Warsawski. That's not what this was. And I think, again, not to take anything away from Seattle, but the relatively fluky nature of those two goals they scored to tie it at two and then take a 3-2 lead before they added the empty netter, they had a desperation that the Sharks matched, but even still maybe put a little bit more fire under their rear ends than the Sharks had in them in this game. Decord made some absolutely phenomenal stops, and we juxtapose that with Yaroslav Askarov, who got beat high once again on that first goal. That's something we've seen consistently with him. That's the one thing he needs to rectify, but overall, I look at this as just another step in the process the Sharks need to go through to turn into that good team that I think we all believe that they are capable of being. But even with a loss like San Jose, you know, ended up with last night, I still think there was a lot out of this game that you have to like. For another game, they were getting their shot volume up over 30. That, to me, is going to play such a big role in the Sharks' continued success. No, they didn't score a lot of goals last night, but the fact of the matter is they got their shot volume up. And as long as that continues to trend in the quote-unquote right direction, we are going to be very pleased with the results in the way they come from San Jose, because shot volume as a whole will lead to goals scored. It's not a one-to-one ratio or anything like that. But the teams that generate the most shots on goal, the teams that generate the most offensive zone time, the teams that create the most chances, generally are the teams that we associate as quote-unquote winning teams and end up in the postseason when all is said and done. But to get back to my point about a lot of the things that I like in this game, beyond the shot volume, you know, Colin Graf, we're watching his ascension and he continues to be a quality player. I know there is the belief by some that you can put just about anybody on the wings of Macklin Celebrini and they will end up having very good numbers. But, you know, the goal he scored is once again a reflection of something I keep on coming back to, and that's that Colin Graf is always in the right place at the right time. And that is not due to Macklin Celebrini. That is not due to anything but his own hockey IQ and his hockey instincts. If you watch the way he breaks up passes, if you watch the way he's become so active on defense, if you watch the way that he positions himself on the offensive side of things, if you watch where he goes when he's tracking the play, he is always at the right place at the right time. Now, that's not to say that he's perfect, but for hockey, a game that is so much predicated on the opportunistic nature of teams and players, you can't be opportunistic unless you're with the play, unless you're reading things correctly. And Colin Graf continues to do so, and watching his game continue to elevate, it's fun to watch. You know, you just see him creating opportunities, making great passes, like the one he had where he put it on Chernyshov's tape and he was denied by DeCord. But, you know, that's indicative of Colin Graf being able to put a puck through traffic, being able to time things just right. And again, that's not by accident. And from Graf, we go to Chernyshov, who had another point out of this game. He did not get a second point. I was sad to find this out. They ended up calling Colin Graf's goal unassisted, so Chernyshov did not get a second point out of this game. But Chernyshov, once again, finding himself in the midst of goal-scoring plays, to which I would say, again, that does not happen on accident. But he shows off that speed, and I use the term show off lightly. He is fast. He uses it to his advantage. He created opportunities. He's only going to get better, guys. He is in his third game in the NHL. Right now, he is a point-per-game player. And I know you're thinking to yourself, well, Teddy doesn't have any goals. I don't care. I don't care if he hasn't scored any goals. He will, I assure you. But he's a point-per-game player in his first three games in the NHL. And again, yes, you can make the argument that he's playing on the wings of Macklin Celebrini. And no, that does not hurt. However, he is consistently finding himself amidst the chaos that leads to goals. He's another guy whose instincts are showing up. He's in the right place at the right time. We haven't seen as consistently as we have from a Colin Graf up to this point, but you see him being big, being strong, being fast, getting into those dirty spaces towards the crease on the ice, and then with his ability to just be a powerful, strong skater, my word. I mean, he eats up ice. He's not first step burst like Macklin Celebrini, but once he gets ahead of steam going, he is a bleeping freight train. That's what I keep on coming back to. It's expletive freight train. That's what Igor Chernyshov is at this point. And you better watch out, because up to this point, we have seen guys try and go at him and take the puck away, and they just bounce off of him. He can skate through guys with his physicality. He has a verticality to his skating style, which allows him to keep his options open as he's driving towards the net. He's not one of those bent over guys who maybe has to look to pass or shoot at an earlier possible moment. Because he's vertical, he can buy himself a little bit more time. But when you watch his game, I mean, the sky is the limit for him. And again, I keep on saying this not in a negative way at all or any sort of a knock on Will Smith, but Will Smith goes down and Igor Chernyshov has been able to show up on that top line and be a productive member. And again, you got to give that credit to Colin Graf as well, but the Sharks have been able to continually put forth good performances without Will Smith. If I had told you that a few months ago, you would have probably thought I was crazy, but the Sharks are dealing with the absence of Will Smith pretty nicely. That said, I do think you can make an argument for a downstream effect of where you don't have Smith, you don't have Kurashev, you don't have the same depth scoring that you had out there. You have not seen the consistency lately from William Eklund that you would like to have. You have not seen the consistency lately from Tyler Toffoli that you would like to have. Jeff Skinner, although I like his game very much, has not been as impactful offensively as I would like him to be lately. And these are all the things where you realize, okay, well, maybe if they did have Will Smith and Kurashev in this game, in addition to Igor Chernyshov and Colin Graf and Skinner and Toffoli, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then maybe you end up with a better performance when all is said and done offensively. That said, I still think even though the Sharks had a couple of turnovers throughout this game and there were moments where that structure got a little bit tested due to the kind of the frantic nature of Seattle throughout this game, for the most part, the Sharks played a pretty good game. One goal goes in, the first goal. That one, you're thinking, ugh, that was not the best. But the two that followed, again, a comeback, they're relatively fluky. I don't think that's some sort of an eternal indictment on what the Sharks were able to do defensively in this game. The fourth one is an empty netter. And there are nights in the NHL where you're just going to lose. You're going to have to accept that. You will not be able to have your best game. And that is something that I think the Sharks found themselves as a part of in this game, where even though they gave themselves a chance, they didn't have their best. They didn't have that moment where they took over the game. You didn't see Macklin Celebrini as wildly impactful in this game, which, listen, guys, I know we want him to be a superstar of superstars in every single game, but he's not always going to be, you know, that ascendant or transcendent player. He's going to have those games where he only, and I say that, you know, loosely, where he only gets 1 point or none point. And so that's where you miss a little bit of that depth scoring in this game. Sam Dickinson had some rough moments in this game, but had some other moments where I liked what he had to do out there on the ice. But I hope that he starts to be able to get consistent performances strung together, because I feel like that's what he needs the most in his game. I think there is a little bit of a nerviness in his game. I think there is a little bit of an unsettled nature because he's in and out of the lineup. And ultimately, he's going to have to earn that spot in the lineup. I'm not trying to deny that, but I want Sam Dickinson to be consistently in the lineup for like 4, 5, 6 games. And I'd like to see him show growth over those 4, 5, 6 games. Then maybe you give him another break once again, but he's got to earn it. He's got to show that he's worthy of that ice time. He's got to show that he is the man that can be consistent on the defensive end, not be mishandling the puck. And that's the thing that's kind of shown up a couple times, is just mishandling the puck or making a pass a little bit too quickly without thinking through the lane. Things of that nature, things that make me believe that he's not currently settled into his role, that the game is still moving a little bit fast for him, that he's still trying to figure things out. And these are all to be expected, guys. I understand he was a high draft status defenseman and the San Jose Sharks are trying to make the most out of him in short order. But when you do look at what he can do, when you do look at his overall ability, he's going to figure it out. Of that, I have no doubt. Just right now, he is unpolished. He is not, you know, the guy who he's going to be in 3, 4, 5 years. And so you're just waiting on that timeline, and hopefully his evolution is rapid, but I still am very, very excited about what his future is going to bring. The one guy that I've been, I wouldn't say frustrated with, but you're kind of just waiting for him to get hot, is William Eklund. And he created some opportunities in this game. He had some wraparounds that looked like they were, you know, had potential at the very least, but his game, I've noticed, has ups and downs. And overall, what I would like from William Eklund is just more consistency. If he can be consistent in his point production, then I'm going to be a very, very happy man. He had 11 points in the month of October, and let's remind ourselves that the Sharks were not exactly great in the month of October. Then we go to the month of November, where he missed the games between November 1st and November 11th, but he had 5 points overall. Now, in the month of December, he has 6 points. But on top of that, he's only had one goal, and that came in that great comeback against Pittsburgh. Again, only one goal in the month of December. That's a little bit behind where I would like him to be. That said, if you look at his overall stats on the season, you know, he's got 22 points. He's played in 32 games. He's creating opportunities. I think he will get hot once again. But when you do have your players like Will Smith and Philip Kurashev go down, you need a player like William Eklund to step up and start scoring goals, just in the way that Colin Graf has stepped up and started scoring goals. 4 goals in his last 3 games there. and you watched Adam Gaudette get in on the score, and you've seen Igor Chernyshov get in on the score and getting points. And I'm not trying to say that this is anything, you know, of a complaint about William Eklund. It's just, if you are going to continue this run and be a playoff quote unquote contender, then you need players like William Eklund to step up. You'd also like a little bit more production out of Alex Wenberg as well, and Jeff Skinner and Tyler Toffoli. This isn't just limited to a few guys or anything like that. But when your scoring depth is relatively impacted, because even though we're all excited about Igor Chernyshov, he has not yet proved it at the same level that Will Smith has. And Filip Kuryshev, the way that he's been playing, his dynamic nature out there on the ice, when he's not there, you miss him. You see and feel the absence. Now, Chernyshov and Graf have done a great job on that top line of making it not be as glaringly noticeable, but you again see in a game where the Sharks are only able to muster two goals against a team in Seattle that has been mightily struggling. They'd lost 10 out of 11 heading into last night's game. You know, you do think, oh, well, maybe the Sharks were missing a little bit of that offense, even if there were good looks, even if there was a lot of creativity, even if there were a lot of things to be excited about with an Igor Chernyshov in the last couple of games. Maybe you do feel that absence of Will Smith. Maybe you do feel that absence of Phil Kuryshev. And Timothy Liljegren, he goes down in morning skate today, and he's not able to play in this game. And then you think to yourself, well, some of the times the Sharks turn the puck over, you think about Liljegren and his puck transporting abilities, and you think about how that may have been missing from this game. That's not a knock on Iorio either. But again, it's a fluid nature. Injuries happen in the NHL. There are ups, there are downs. But you take all of this into account when you walk away with a 4-2 loss against the Kraken in a game that you didn't really play that poorly, that you had your opportunities but were unable to capitalize in. You unfortunately end up on a 1-2 homestand, and now you're heading out on the road for 3, and you think to yourself, okay, Will Smith's probably not coming back anytime soon. I know we're going to get a reevaluation of his injury coming up on Monday, or that was at least the relative timeline that we were told a couple of days ago by Ryan Warsawski, but you are without some important players who have helped you get to this point. And I still think up to this point that the Sharks have truly not been the same since Vinny Desharnais went down. That's another loss that we're not talking about because he's been out injured, but that's the NHL. You have to weather those storms, and that's why you need these other guys that are a part of the depth scoring to set up, which I was really happy about with Adam Gaudette. You know, Colin Graf has stepped up in his game. We're just waiting for more from William Eklund and Tyler Toffoli, but that's how the NHL works. It's not just the star player and everybody's along for the ride, even if sometimes that's what the narrative feels like in San Jose with Macklin Celebrini and all the things that he does so consistently at an ultra high level. But you need those veterans to add on. You need those experienced players to be part of the mix. And I look specifically at Skinner and Toffoli, and then, you know, a guy in William Eklund who has very high draft status attached to him, who's been able to take big jumps in the last couple of years of his career. You need more out of him. You need his production to be right there with your best players. And I don't expect him to be up there with Macklin Celebrini per se, but I don't think it's beyond an unreasonable request to think that William Eklund has the ability to be a point per game player or close to it. He most definitely has that ability. He is dangerous. He is dynamic. He is smart. He's a great skater. His ability to handle the puck is, you know, phenomenal, and he creates opportunities. Lately, he's been a little bit snake bit. He's gone up against some good goalies who have denied him. He is going to have that breakthrough. He is going to play a role in some big Sharks wins in the future. You just need him to hurry up whenever that moment is. And I know that sounds unrealistic and probably a little bit unfair, but that's what sports are. They are cruel. They are unfair. You're asking everyone to up their ability to help the team get a win. Do want to get into a couple of those Dan Ruzanowski highlights from last night. Let's start out with Adam Gaudette's goal.
Final seconds of the power play ticking off, 35 to go. Here's Celebrini shooting it. Save made. Score! Adam Gaudette's in front of a net. And he wins that little 50-50 battle with Oleksiak in front of the goal. And Gaudette is able to bang it in to tie this contest 1-1. And there it is, a power play goal for Adam Gaudette. And the Sharks have evened things up with Gaudette's 8th of the season.
It was interesting because even though the Sharks were outshot 17-12 in the first period, you still liked a lot of what you saw. And I think that was maybe my first sign that the Sharks were not going to be able to break through in this game. So when they went down 1-0, you were kind of curious to see what sort of a response they would have. And they did have a good response. There was nothing wrong with them tying it 1-1 after going down about 7 minutes into the second period, 1-0. But the fact that they couldn't build off of it, even though they were looking positive, they were creating opportunities, they were creating chances consistently, it just didn't feel like they were going to have a great game. But sometimes these are those types of games where you just kind of grind it out and see who can walk away with that tight one-goal game. And when Colin Graf gave the Sharks the lead 36 seconds into that third period, you thought to yourself, okay, well, maybe the Sharks can take control of this game and build on it from here.
But Dmitry Orlov, far side of the ice, is able to angle one forward and get it down the surface. And now it's a turnover by the Kraken in front. A shot toward the net, off the post. They score. Colin Graf took that puck on the turnover. He got the pass from Chernyshov, put it off the post. And in the scramble in the ensuing play, it ends up going in the back of the net. 36 seconds into the second period, and the Sharks take advantage of a Kraken mistake, and boy, that's a big one. It is 2-1 San Jose.
But unfortunately, they were not able to build upon that in what was a little bit of a flashback to what we saw earlier this year and in years past. The Sharks scored a goal, again, Colin Graf, 36 seconds into the third period, and then just roughly a minute 20 later, Ryker Evans makes it a 2-2 game. And then about another 3 minutes after that, or 2.5 minutes, Lindgren makes it a 3-2 lead. And you're just thinking to yourself, what happened? The Sharks were playing better. They were looking like they had all the wind at their sails, the momentum, ready to turn that 2-1 lead into something greater and turn that momentum into a 2-1 homestand. But it didn't. It just kind of fizzled out, and it went the way of Seattle. Let's hear what Adam Gaudette had to say after this game.
It seemed like a very winnable game here tonight, but an unfortunate end here.
Yeah, we did a lot of good things, especially that second period. We were all over them in their zone, and, we thought we could have won that game, and, they scored two goals by just throwing pucks to the net, and that's what we were trying to do tonight and trying to do more of, and just shows that if you get pucks to the net, we'll go in at some point.
Would you say that's the one thing you guys could have done more is maybe get more pucks on net tonight?
Yeah, I think so. I think we had over 30 shots this game. So I think we've been doing a better job of that, but still we can always get more to the net from weird angles with guys going to the net. Just creates chaos and havoc in front of the net for the goalie.
Defense in front of Askarov tonight looked like it did a pretty good job boxing out, but just is there maybe a hope to block a couple of the shots? I think the last two went off Sharks players both times.
I think that last one was unlucky, hit a skate, and the other one just had some eyes, found it. It was just a sifter from the point, off of a trying to chip the puck out there, and he just threw it on net and just happened to find its way in.
What made it so tough to make? There was a couple net front scrambles where Decord was able to cover it after a couple whacks. What made it so hard to kind of get one by him? I know you got one there on the power play, but just a chance of there.
Yeah, I think we were doing the right things, but sometimes that's just how it goes when we get into the net, and we had a lot of chances there and it just wasn't going in, but we just got to keep doing that and it'll break through.
Just gonna interrupt here for a second. Adam Gaudette is asked about Igor Chernyshov and gives a phenomenal answer about what he thinks about this kid's game and where his future is.
Chernyshov is right there in front of the net with you. What's been your impression of his game?
He's been great. He's big, he's fast, and he plays hard, and he can shoot the puck. I've been impressed with him, and he goes out there, and he's noticeable every shift. And he's a great fit on that line, and he wins pucks, and he skates hard. That's what I've noticed most about him is his speed on the outside, and then he's not afraid to get to the dirty areas and get into the front of the net. And he's been doing really well, especially first three games in the league, and he's got a bright future ahead of him.
I was gonna say a couple more. Fair to say he looks comfortable at this level.
Yeah, I think so, and I think the comfort and confidence is only going to grow with him. And it's good to see a guy jump in like that and play that way. And there's obviously room to grow, just like anybody else. And when he keeps on getting better, he's going to be pretty scary out there.
Thoughts on the homestand overall here? You obviously just got a big win to start here, but just 1-2. How do you kind of feel about the overall?
Yeah, we just gotta, do some little things. We're right there, right where we want to be. We're almost to where we need to be to push for a playoff spot. And You know, we still got a long season left, but we just got to keep plugging away and keep focusing on these little things that are winning us games, and we got to do that every night.
Overall, you still feel pretty good about the homestand in so far as you played well against Dallas, played well tonight.
Yeah, it sucks to lose, but, you know, there's obviously positives we can take away and things we can learn from. But, you know, I think we're playing pretty good hockey right now. We just got to clean up a few things.
And I love that mentality. I think we're playing pretty good hockey. We just got to clean up a few things. In the past, the losses, because they were so frequent, really put a lot of weight on the San Jose Sharks. And when they did lose, you could just feel more and more that weight on their shoulders. You could hear it in their post-game commentary. You could see it in the way their shoulders would slump out on the ice because they knew they didn't have the overall ability to win the majority of the games because their talent level just was not there to match the opposition. That was just a very stark and difficult reality they were facing. But this year, they know they're better. They know there's a higher level of talent. They know that they have, you know, the ability to win games when they're not absolutely perfect. And so that's why a loss like this, when they played well, they can kind of shrug it off and say, yeah, you know, we lost. We got to clean a few things up and we'll be okay. And I believe them. And they believe themselves. I think they had to go through a lot of lip service in recent memory to kind of say, oh, everything's going to be okay. And they're trying to put, you know, lipstick on a pig and they're trying to smile and put a brave face on it. But that's a lot of what being a bad team in any sport is you put a brave face on it, but you know the stark reality of the difficulty that you're facing. This year's team, though, there is a much higher level of belief because there is a much higher level of talent and there is a greater level of depth to go to this roster as well. And so they think we can handle injuries. We can go with just about anybody in the NHL. And if we take care of our business, if we clean up a couple of the mistakes that we made in this game, yeah, we're going to be okay. We're going to go out onto the road and we're going to have opportunities to win games. Remember, the Sharks, no game today, Sunday. They will practice and travel on Monday. And then on the 23rd, they are at Vegas, 3 days off for the Christmas holiday. Then they're at Vancouver, then at Anaheim on the 29th. And they're back home on New Year's Eve to play host to the Minnesota Wild. So again, there's no panic in these San Jose Sharks. Not that there was panic specifically previously, but there was an awareness of the weight of the task they were trying to endeavor. And that's the difference now, is that there is a much looser feel because they know they have the ability to take on what is next. Let's hear a little bit from Ryan Warsawski after last night's game, who again did not seem overly concerned over the results.
Yeah, frustrating. You know, I thought at moments we had some good things going on in our game, and then it's just frustrating. It's a good word for it.
Usually they were trying to create offense. There were quite a few turnovers tonight which ended up in goals. So what do you thought? Was that trying to force offense there when it's not necessary?
One of them, yes. And then, you know, three out of the four obviously are it's puck play on the walls. We don't make the right play. We don't make a hard enough play. We don't cover the middle of the ice enough. And then, they get two bounces.
Colin Graft said, you know, asked about this homestand in general. You guys did play well in general, but he said disappointing. And is that nice to hear in the sense of, you know, we're not talking about moral victories anymore in that locker room. We're talking about, you know, just results and points.
Arguably these two games we should have won. So, I think we're frustrated in a sense tonight just because that's a game that's, you know, we should win that game, you know, and we shoot ourselves in the foot with some puck play.
What can you say about Colin tonight? It seems so confident with the puck. Is this the most confident that you've seen him with the puck offensively in the NHL?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, in all three zones.
You're saying that the work he's done in the offseason here has really helped him, you know, almost at the midway point of the season. Do you see that working for him, the work that's...
Yeah, for sure. His conditioning is really good. To play, you know, in a top six role, you got to have good conditioning, and his conditioning is really good. He's done a lot of work on that, and now he's playing confident.
You mentioned the board play tonight, but how would you assess Askarov tonight?
I thought he was good. Made some big saves early in the first. And probably wants the first one back, but you know, two of them go off, you know, off people and come into the net. So nothing he can do with those.
Does Igor look like a guy who belongs at this level?
Yes. He looks really good.
Do you feel like maybe this game pulled you guys out of the structure a little bit, cut out a little scramble over the place that maybe led to some of those bad bounces that maybe went off guys, something like that, which just maybe is out of structure a little bit?
No, I think it was soft puck play.
So, Coach, two tough losses in a row. Do you worry about the confidence waning at all with the team?
No,
know. I mean, it's not like we just got our doors blown off. We played a good hockey game. We've played two good games here in a row. We've started on that road trip. We started finding our identity of a hockey team. I think we're frustrated with this one, this outcome, because that was a game, you know, looking back at, we just got to dig in a little bit more in some areas, and it's a winnable game.
They know it was a missed opportunity. Nothing more, nothing less. All right, we are all out of time. I will see you on Tuesday as we get ready for Vegas on the road. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.